I think I have mentioned before that I was very blessed in seminary to travel to a number of different places since I lived in Rome for a number of years. And I was able to see a number of sacred places. However, one thing that I always looked for when I was traveling was a Carmelite monastery, that is, the Carmelite sisters who live in a community. They are always a great place to pray, and I think kind of selfishly, I always like to ask for their prayers, because as you can tell, I need lots of them. Now, I had the opportunity to spend some time with the Carmelite sisters in Tromsø, Norway, on my canonical retreat a few years ago. And that canonical retreat is just the final retreat in preparation for priestly ordination. Now, Tromsø, Norway is a beautiful but a harsh place to live. It sits well within the Arctic Circle, and they experience months of the midnight sun during summer, but also months of polar nights during winter. And if you can believe it, they get even more snow than we do. And many people love to go to Tromsø during the winter time to experience those cold northern nights, but also to experience the northern lights, to the Aurora Borealis. These Carmelite sisters, this is all a long story to say, the Carmelite sisters have a painting in their chapel of this dark and harsh Norwegian landscape, but on the bottom, they have a phrase that says, "In tenebris luceat lux tua." May your light shine in the darkness. And what a beautiful that image is, that a constant reminder that even in the darkest of times, our Lord wants to shine his light in our lives. Now, all that being said, in our gospel today, Jesus reminds us that he doesn't just want to shine in our lives. He doesn't want the whole world just to be a little bit illuminated with just the Aurora Borealis. Rather, he wants to set the world on fire. He wants to see the world ablaze with his love. And God's love is a love that purifies, it consumes, and it gives new life. Now, in this way, letting Jesus into our lives and into our hearts is not without a little bit of pain. Pope Benedict XVI said, "Whoever is close to God must be prepared to be a little bit burned." And this burning is what purifies us. Jesus is love and truth, and this fire of love is also the light of truth that shows us any division. It shows inside of us anything that is not of God. Jesus gives light to our conscience, and there's always a great pain in knowing that our hearts are far away from our Lord. And there's kind of an agony in knowing that there's anything that within us that is not of God alone. But we take comfort, because with the fire of his love, Jesus purifies us, and he takes away anything that is not of himself. He always binds up what he wounds. He seeks to purify us with the fire of his love. And after this purification, the fire of God's love consumes us. We become an image of God's love. We realize then our true nature. We are creatures made in the image of God. Many great saints have spoken on this unitive love that comes after the purification. And finally, the fire of God's love gives new life. I'm sure many of you are familiar with what's called a controlled burn, where maybe a meadow or a grassland or some ditch somewhere is intentionally burnt. And this is done for a number of reasons, right? But one of them, kind of most interestingly, is that some plants need the nutrients from the ashes to grow. Indeed, there are some flowers that don't actually bloom until there has been a fire. And I think this is a good analogy for the gift that Jesus gives us in his passion, his death, and his resurrection. In short, what he gives us on the cross. The fire of Jesus' infinite love allowed himself to be crucified so that we might have new life, so that we might have the possibility of ourselves then being consumed by the fire of God's love and born anew in a way that we couldn't have achieved on our own. Born again as sons and daughters of God through our baptism, and then sustained through all the sacraments, especially here in the Eucharist when we encounter the fire of God's love made flesh in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And finally, Jesus desires the whole world be consumed, and he calls each of us to spread the fire. Every fire needs some fuel, a source of ignition, and some oxygen to burn. The fuel, of course, is the world, including ourselves, which are ready to be consumed by God's love. There are then the sources of ignition, which hopefully are us working with God. We are called, each of us, to spread the fire of God's love, to share with others our faith, and to work acts of charity. But lastly, there's the oxygen. This is maybe one of the most important parts. Prayer is the oxygen that fans the flame of God's love. So first and foremost, we are all called to prayer, each and every day, to have that close relationship with our Lord, to adore Him, to praise Him, and to simply exist in Him. Prayer is that strong breeze that sweeps the conflagration of God's love across the earth. And so, our prayer today is that in the darkness, God's light may shine. But of course, a little bit more than shine. We know that God's love wants to be ablaze, that the world might be aflame in His love, a love that purifies, consumes, and gives new life.